we as an organisation are set up to deliver scientific content training and skills capability training. You know, there's some really powerful bolt-ons that you get from using the platform rather than just the learning experience itself.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is how pharma can use artificial intelligence to make learning and development more impactful, personalized, and targeted. All pharma have learning and development teams to ensure that the employees are trained and kept up to date in their area. This is time consuming and it's not personalized by individual, but it can be with artificial intelligence. Today, I'm with David Barwick, the Senior Director of Capability Development of Amplity, who have used AI to develop a unique blended learning approach to enable pharma to create programs that make use of a range of digital, directed, self-learning, virtual, and face-to-face assets. So happy to have you on the show, David. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Let's begin with you telling me a bit about your background and how you got into this and where you started and what led you to Amplity.
Thanks, Andre. It's a real pleasure to be here talking a little bit about Amplity and our experience with AI. So for me personally, it depends how far back you want to go, really. I guess I would track the start of my journey back to playing team sports when I was a kid and, you know, being obsessed with that sort of continuous improvement aspect that goes with playing any sport. But my first job that I got after I finished my schooling was with GSK, GlaxoSmithKline. And I was there working in their commercial and medical and learning teams for about 18 years, where I was fortunate to receive a lot of coaching, training around my mindset, around behaviour, which led to me actually becoming quite a good self-coach as well. And when I left GSK after 18 years, I went out and worked as a learning and development freelancer and across a lot of different industries where I really felt that I uncovered the trick behind how you can be flexible and adaptive at work. So there's a lot really in my background that I guess sort of led me to do this type of role. What led me to Amplity is that I met one of the founders of one of the heritage companies within Amplity while I was at GSK, so she was my head of department there.
Okay. And so before we get into how you're using AI for learning development at Amplity, given that you've got such a long background in pharma, could you maybe outline how pharma traditionally do this and what kind of challenges you saw in the approaches that they use traditionally?
So traditionally, well, when I first started in pharma, I went on a 7-week residential training course where we literally all stayed on site for those 7 weeks. And, you know, there's still aspects of how that training course was run that are present today. So pharma tend to use quite a traditional and linear approach to learning. And what I mean by that is, regardless of who you are, everybody gets the same spoonful of medicine for their training. So, you know, that's time intensive. It can be quite repetitive and it really sort of limits engagement from participants. I guess the other thing that I would say as well within that is sitting alongside that approach really is the mindset of the people that develop and commission those programs. You know, the traditional mindset for people that work in L&D is that the people that come on their programs need to learn and remember all aspects. So, you know, I was expected to remember everything that I learned on that 7-week training program.
Sure.
And times are changing, and the way that people feel about what they need to remember or indeed be able to access elsewhere in the moment is a real present need in today's learning and development marketplace, which is really driving a need to move away from that traditional approach.
Yeah. So could you tell me now, in the move away from the traditional approach, how you use AI for learning and development in pharma?
Sure. I think the easiest way to describe the principle is to only do in a live environment what you can only do in a live environment. And while that sounds obvious, traditionally, when you think about, you know, maybe some learning that needs to happen around mindset to get people ready for a change, the theoretical learning that sits before the practical application learning that's in a traditional program, often they're all done in a live environment, or they certainly were until the pandemic came and gave things a sort of a big shove along the digital learning route. So I think if we hold on to that principle of only doing live what you can only do live, artificial intelligence is perfectly placed to take away some aspects of learning from the classroom. So you can do a lot of learning around mindset and a lot of learning around traditional theoretical learning can be done using a platform like AI or other digital tools. But where AI, I think, has really got the edge on a lot of other digital tools is that it can serve it up in a way that's incredibly compelling and relevant for the individual learner who's accessing the learning. And where it's got an edge for me from the point of view of the people that commission the programs is that it can be done in a really cost-efficient way for them as well.
It's fascinating. So I'm just wondering, how do you get what you're training them into the platform and deciding what how to personalize it? Like, how does the AI do that?
So the AI that we have in our platform uses natural language processing. So what it means is that we can actually combine many aspects of a client's own program that's mm-hmm. pre-existing.
Nice.
We can supplement that with what we've got in the Amplity lockers. If the client feels that they don't have a program that they'd want to put in, then they can just use ours. And then what the artificial intelligence is able to do is take a first pass at aligning, structuring, and even tagging everything that's in the curriculum so that it can be served up in a way that appears to be very, very self-led and self-directed, but of course is actually being very much driven by the AI. And that's, I think, a critical point for people to remember, because I talk about our platform as almost like a second generation mm-hmm. Artificial intelligence platform for L&D. You know, the first generation platform did have a big need for manual human input right up front. So people would need to literally go through each aspect of the learning and tag it by the 1 or 10 tags that they felt were particularly relevant, which, you know, if you take one of the really large pharma clients, they can have literally hundreds of thousands of learning assets in their vaults that they want to have included. So that's like such a huge investment of time and effort on behalf of their teams that it actually just makes it a prohibitive thing for people to want to do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, our platform takes away, you know, a huge amount of that effort that's required, which means that you know, you can actually get on with launching the program a lot quicker and be a lot more confident in how it's been lined up, because it takes out the element of human error and it makes it a very rational and logical way in which it's done.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I always find that whole data tagging and data cleaning part is usually, you know, the biggest part of any project. So to have it automatically doing that is really impressive, really nice.
And it doesn't get it, you know, it doesn't get it necessarily right, but, you know, it gets it 80 or 90% there, and it submits a report back to you that then as the owner, you're able to make changes or manipulate. So you don't have to go with it.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, it's just great to have an assistant, a friend there who's helping you to do most of the legwork. Because I agree with you, the tagging is
Yeah.
Yeah, horrendous sometimes.
It is. And so when you say it cuts down the time, it sounds like it would cut it down dramatically. What kind of time improvement could you see because of this automated approach?
So we have piloted it internally with our own teams using just one small program of Managed Coach Lead. And we found that it reduced the time by about 80% of what we would have expected for putting that into just a normal sort of LMS and building out adaptive journeys that way.
That is impressive. That's really cool. And so could you maybe talk us through how the user interacts with it? So say you're a user and you log on to the system to do your learning program. How do they interact with it?
So, I mean, there are different aspects to how you might interact with the platform. Mm-hmm. The most obvious one is how you would complete a learning program. So often that's done through single sign-on. So people can go straight directly into the platform as a resource in its own right. But what clients tend to prefer is that it's done through single sign-on, through a link to their LMS, their learning management system, or their learner experience platform, whatever they have. And once somebody actually gets into the learning content itself, as a user, you're then asked a number of questions about what you already know in relation to that particular topic, or your confidence in the answers as well. And what that enables the AI to do is it helps to learn very, very quickly about each individual user and build the most efficient path for them to be competent. Now, that's not to say that the user cannot choose to go on a different path. So, for example, if there's a podcast that's available that's a 30-minute listen, then that may be offered as optional content, which if somebody is particularly interested in that topic, they can, of course, take time out of the journey itself to sit and listen to the podcast. But they don't have to. But at the same time, they're not restricted from doing that just because they already know it. It's all very flexible. So in terms of the program itself, the learning program itself, that the interaction is very two-way compared to, for example, a traditional e-learning module. I'm sure, you know, we can all think of examples of e-learning we've completed over time that left us wanting a little bit more from a learner experience perspective. Well, this makes it feel much more two-way and much more involved for people. And then if I can as well, there is other functionality that's available. Mm-hmm. So there is, for example, intelligent search functionality. So moving away from thinking about it just as a platform for delivering a learning event or a learning curricula for people, you can also go back into it and use the intelligent search functionality. So let's say, you're somebody who works in a field role in pharma. You're going in to see a stakeholder externally, and you know that what you really need to do is listen and learn as much as you can about that person's experience of how they treat patients in the present day. So in order to do that, clearly listening is going to be something that's incredibly important in that interaction. And what the intelligent search function can do is it will take you straight to the resources that are sat within the engine, which are relevant to helping to support you to be a good listener. So, you know, if you imagine what that experience would be like for somebody who's, you know, on the train or driving in the car, to be able just to access in the 20 minutes in the build up to that meeting, the tools, content for listening that is relevant to their role, is relevant to their organization. This platform enables that. So, you know, there's some really powerful sort of additional bolt-ons that you get from using the platform rather than just the learning experience itself.
Wow. What about the business case? So if someone from learning and development from pharma came to you, what kind of business cases are you seeing used?
Well, I think the strongest business case is the fact that, the way the marketplace has changed through the pandemic and out the other side means that, you know, needs have revolved rather than evolved in this space. So, we as an organization at Amplity were very you know, mindful of the fact that digital learning was going to not only be here to stay, but probably be front and center of any learning programs that are commissioned from now onwards. You know, when I looked at the research, what I saw was that, you know, you've got these different learning needs of the newer generations that are coming into business now. Mm-hmm. You know, 91% of people use a digital device first when they seek out ideas for a new project or to develop a new skill. Mm-hmm. Organizations themselves have got completion rates. I heard one client talk about completion rates as low as 4% for particular elective learning in their organization. So, you know, there's a real, the business case, I think, is one that's built around addressing, you know, these issues. If you're somebody who commissions learning and development on behalf of a region or even globally for an organization these days, knowing that 91% of people use digital devices first, it has to sharpen your thinking about how you make your content accessible and relevant and targeted to the right people at the right time to stop them from going to use Google or somebody else's resources, because we can all do that. So, you know, the business case for users is strong when you think about, you know, the move away from motivation. And then there's the other side to that is, you know, this, the move forward, the move towards motivation is around, you know, some of the things that you get out of the back end of the platform, like the advanced analytics that come out that help you to break down the results that you've got to such an extent that you can offer personalized, targeted interventions to people. You know, someone who answers a question and says, you know, not only do I think I've got this right, but I'm 100% confident I've got this right. You know, if they then get that right, that tells, and that's a consistent picture through the program, it tells you like a really good story about that individual versus somebody who is always confident but getting questions wrong. Mm-hmm. Relatively regularly, you know, you hear here you have a completely different learning need around somebody's self-awareness. Or you flip that, you know, somebody who is regularly getting the questions right but has really low confidence in themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, they again have different learning needs, and out the back of them, I mean, that's just one example of you know, scores of things that come out of the back of the analytics that help you to be incredibly targeted about some of the live events that you can put on and even the one-to-one interactions that people are having across the organization.
I love that feedback loop where you're actually getting that information that the AI can then learn from and personalize each person's journey, which is really cool. And so you said before that you had used it, you'd run a pilot in your own organization for learning, which sounds really interesting. What kind of benefits did you see? So obviously 80% decrease in time was pretty impressive. What about things like the getting more familiar with the material faster, things like that? Was it?
We in my team were really happy about the 80% because that was my group of people that actually are responsible for doing that sort of thing. But in addition, some of the results we had were actually quite staggering. The front end we talked about, but the actual completion rates, mm-hmm. You know what it's like in organizations. You get sent an email saying you need to complete this in a month. Then maybe you get a follow-up after a month saying, oh, you know, here's a list of the people that haven't done it yet. The naughty people list, as we call it. But, you know, our naughty people list was really, really low, and everybody completed it just after having, you know, one follow up, which for a busy organization was incredibly helpful. When we piloted, we deliberately split and put people into a more sort of traditional e-learning approach and people into the approach with the adaptive learning tool. And, you know, the user experience results that we got were significantly swung in favor of the AI-led experience as well. So, you know, it just reinforced a lot of the things that we were hoping would be seen through the pilot. And as a result of, in particular, the background analytics report, We very quickly moved on to the next phase of our journey in building this, which is to get an external. So we've got a big pharma client at the moment that we're working with, piloting the setup with as well. And, they're hugely excited about what this could mean for their business. And we're hugely excited about what it could mean for our long-term strategic partnership with them as well, because I think for a company like Amplity, it moves the conversation away from being a vendor of learning and development services and much more towards being a partner with them as well. So our experience so far has been incredibly positive. We have discovered some things along the way, which will, help us to be even better when we launch it. But in general, it's been a great experience so far.
And so, for example, this client you've got now, did they already have a lot of materials to put into the system, or did you have to develop those materials? How did that work, and how long was it from them first coming to you to actually delivering the AI training?
So we are just about to deliver the AI training in about a week or so's time. So that's taken us about 8 weeks to go from sort of the beginning of the process to the point where we're ready to deliver. That's mostly been driven by internal process. So, as with most big clients, there's a process that sits around bringing on new technology vendors that, of course, we've had to make sure that we move through that at the right pace and in the right level of detail. We have provided most of the content. That's been supplemented with a little bit of content from them, but the majority of it was content that we've had, which we have been able to adapt to make it look like their own. So it works with their branding guidelines, it's on their templates, and it looks and feels very much like their platform and their learning program rather than one that's Amplity. Of course, the more that we tailor and adjust, the more that has got the potential to add to the timeline, but not significantly.
Yeah. And what about costs? What's the cost model compared with the traditional approaches of doing this?
The cost up front is probably comparable, I would think, because if we imagine that we're creating a lot of content for somebody, for example, if we were to do that, Amplity were to do that as a vendor, then we would charge the same amount regardless of whether we're making it available as SCORM e-learning or as micro-learning or as something that goes into the AI engine. But here's the thing, which I think is really exciting for clients on an ongoing basis, is if you imagine that you have e-learning or if you imagine that you have micro-learning, that something changes and you need to adjust it, a new tool or a new model or something. If that's e-learning, that needs a whole rebuild now, unless you want to, literally chop a chunk out of it and put a chunk in, which will, just is incredibly difficult to pull off in the e-learning environment. Using the AI platform, you can just throw in the new content and the AI will adjust and adapt for you. So it's an incredibly flexible and adaptable approach. You could, in theory, if you think about how you could use the AI platform, you could start with your initial curriculum and you could literally just throw in a podcast every day or some flat PDFs or some videos or get people around your business to share examples of where it's worked, where it hasn't worked, so you can constantly just build this incredibly rich library which is all housed in the same place and can flag up where new content's been made available. The intelligent search can direct people to stuff that they've maybe not seen before, and all of that can happen in an incredibly fluid and therefore relatively cheap way compared to rebuilding a learning curriculum as you would need to do through other digital approaches.
Theoretically, if someone came to you and they had already developed their learning curriculum, and let's imagine that they didn't have many weeks of internal approvals to do because it was already approved, how quickly could you get it into the platform?
It would depend on exactly what format it was in. And it would depend on the size. But in theory, if it ticked the right boxes in terms of going into the platform, you could put it into the platform on Monday, and the platform will have lined it up and structured it in 24, 48 hours for them.
Wow.
Now, there would be other things that people need to consider. So would they be happy to launch it on an Amplity workspace, or would they want their own? If they wanted their own, then there would be a little bit of setup time that would be required as well. But the AI itself is capable of taking a huge amount of existing resources, consuming them, to use the term, and then making sure that that comes out as a structured curriculum incredibly quickly, provided that that we're lucky and we get the things in the right format. Some clients that we've spoken to are really keen to give us their sort of e-modules, but they don't. Yeah. They only have them as a SCORM file. They don't actually have the background files. So that, therefore, you have to go through a process of de-SCORMing, which is a word that I've learned as a result of getting involved in this project, and that can take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So it depends.
Wow, that sounds really interesting, and I think there's applications all throughout. You know, adverse event training, Salesforce training, all of the other aspects within training, and even, you know, for universities, it would be an amazing kind of tool one day. So
we're really excited about it because while you know, we as an organization are set up to deliver scientific content training and skills capability training that sits around that, you're absolutely spot on. You know, there's nothing to stop somebody, an organization, from just taking this on for all aspects of how they make their learning curriculums available.
Yeah, I think that would be really powerful. Mm. Well, thank you so much. For any companies that are listening to this, any pharma companies, obviously, that want to get in touch with David and his team, if you go to www.ampliti.com, you will see what this can do and how it can help you. So thank you so much for your time today, David. I find it really fascinating, and I'm really so pleased you could join us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.